Welcome to the Pipeline Pioneers, a sales intel show where our goal is to help the community learn from the experts, from practitioners and leaders as to how to generate the best pipeline for their business. As we know, revenue pipeline is the heart blood of any organization. And we at Sales Intel believe that generating a pipeline is not just the responsibility of the BDR team or the marketing team or the AE. It truly takes a village to come together to build a pipeline that ultimately converts into revenue. Today, I'm excited to have Tanisha Griggs with me. Tanisha, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Manoj, for having me. It's definitely an honor.
Yeah, Tanisha, to kick things off, why don't you tell the audience about your background, your business, and how in your current role do you help influence the pipeline?
Absolutely. So currently I own my own marketing agency, 37X Digital Marketing Agency, where we specialize in marketing strategy and advertising execution for B2B tech and e-commerce brands. My prior roles have been all over the place. I started in B2B sales. I did some since and like product, but primarily most of my experience has been in marketing, in which my last role, I worked for an ABM MarTech company, Terminus, which is one of the leading ABM platforms across the ecosystem. And I was VP and head of global media, where I had about $100 million of advertising spend that I was responsible for, from every company from small to enterprise companies. And we were helping them activate on their ABM programs.
That's great. That's good. So, Tanisha, last year was hard for lots of companies, right? Companies just didn't have enough pipelines, and macroeconomic headwinds were really strong that the pipelines that they did have, you know, prove out to be not healthy. So as a result of that, many of the B2B companies, especially in the SaaS space, did not hit their goals, right? And we all learn from lots of mistakes that we made along the way. What was your learning from the past and that you would like to share with the community?
Yeah, it was hard. And I wouldn't even say we're out of those headwinds. I think we're still very much so in the midst of them. I think from what I've seen with clients in terms of just kind of some mistakes, when you have those type of occurrences, like economic challenges, things that are just like beyond your control, you have to be willing to pivot. And I saw a lot of like companies still kind of going along with their initial strategies and didn't really pivot from that, considering all the, you know, the current economic issues that were going on. And so one is that when you're in the midst of economic challenges, a lot of times businesses, you know, will halt like marketing spend, and they'll, you know, scale back there. And so you have a lot of companies now kind of, you know, reevaluating their tech stack to say like, what's really necessary, what's not. And in my space in ABM, and it's very much so a luxury and not necessarily a necessity to keep like ABM programs afloat. And so I started to see a lot of companies scale back there. But from my experience, I think you kind of have to think about, you know, your existing customer base. You know, acquisitions are going to slow down. Like, yep. Pipeline is just going to slow down in terms of the number of, you know, companies coming into the funnel. And so you have to think about, one, like, how do you, you know, think about your existing customer base and trying to retain and expand those opportunities? Because a lot of times, like, they still have, brands still have budgets to spend, but it's harder to like bring in a new vendor versus expand opportunities within another vendor. So consolidation very much so is critical. And so brands also too have to think about, how do I, you know, nurture that existing customer base? And then the other thing, and from the acquisition perspective, it now becomes less of a volume play and more of a quality thing. So how do you, you know, create more organic content, use your organic channels to create more organic content to nurture and, you know, educate your prospects in a meaningful way to help bring just more of the higher quality? You don't really need the volume. You just need the right brands or prospects to come into your funnel. So those are two things that I really saw in terms of brands not really, you know, pivoting and iterating on their current strategies.
It's very, very insightful. You know, in businesses, you have to be able to pivot, right, as the macroeconomic conditions are, you know, present themselves. And I love your point about focus on the customers, because much easier to generate revenue from the customers that you already have relationships with versus, you know, trying to go to the new account acquisition. Both are great points. So Tanisha, to 2024, new year, new budgets, new experiments, what are you most excited about for pipeline generation?
For pipeline generation, I'm more excited about another thing in terms of pivoting is thinking about your offering. So for me, I started off just more in the digital marketing space, like focusing on pay channels. Mm-hmm. And so last year there was insurgence of what? AI. And so now everyone's thinking about how do I integrate AI into my tech stack? How do I integrate it into business operations? And so I saw just a massive opportunity to be of service and help brands integrate AI. So for me, I've expanded out my service offerings. And I think that's another thing, just trying to find adjacent opportunities or offerings that you can provide value to your, you know, customers or prospects in market where you're trying to, you know, just help meet demand. That's something that I'm really excited about, is expanding out my offerings and being able to help brands integrate AI into their tech stack.
And that's awesome. That is awesome. I know there are a lot of cool experiments that are being, you know, performed using AI. So I would love to track your progress on and experiments on them. But when it comes to pipeline generation, is there any channel that you are more excited about in 2024? As we know, you know, the cold calling isn't working. The mm-hmm. BDRs, just throw more BDRs, isn't working. Are there channels like events or community or partnerships that you're more excited about in 2024?
Yeah, for me, B2B influencers. Like influencers. I'm excited about, yeah, working with more B2B influencers, because like people want to buy from people, and like it's not necessarily just, you can't just run ads like you used to and expect people to click. There's not a lot of direct attribution there or direct responses to campaigns. When I was running, you know, ads for Terminus, about 90% of our traffic actually came back to the site via view through visit and not necessarily the direct click. So you realize like people don't love clicking ads anyways. And so it's great for a brand awareness perspective, but at the end of the day, it's really about education. You have to lean in on your content. And so one is getting, you know, much higher quality content. I even tell my clients a lot of times, like, hey, start with like anywhere from, you know, 30 to 40% of your budget, focus on content. Mm-hmm. Like, don't just go and like try to run ads, try to produce high quality content, even if you're using them across organic channels, but getting also to B2B influencers on board to help you just build that credibility. Because B2B influencers in general, like only connect and they will only partner with brands that they actually believe in. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they're not going to, if you're, you know, a subpar data vendor, like, and they don't believe in your brand, they're not going to partner with you anyway. So a lot of the times these B2B influencers have a really, you know, loyal follower base. And then they're really leaning on those B2B influencers to help educate them. That's something that I'm really excited about diving into this year with my clients.
That's great. That is awesome. Well, let's switch the gears here. As we know, growth comes from many channels. You can't rely on just one. And as a go-to-market leader, our job is to make sure that we are optimizing our spend across those channels, right? So we're going to have a working exercise here. Tanisha, here are 100 pennies that you have. Each coin is worth 10 pennies, and here are multiple. Let's see. And then here are the channels on the right-hand side, right? Your goal is to make the right decisions to invest these 100 pennies across different channels with the eye on keeping pipeline that is going to convert ultimately to revenue. Like, how will you distribute these pennies?
I feel like I'm on the Price is Right. You remember that Plink, I forgot what the name of it was, but there's a game on Price is Right this reminds me of. Mm-hmm. Okay, so one clarifying question.
Yeah.
Is it for me and my business, what stage of the business, like what state, what growth stage is this
you
business?
Know, we service customers And the community of this podcast ranges from startups all the way to, you know, enterprise companies. So, you know, you can draw from your experience with your agency, or you can draw from your past jobs.
Yeah. Oh, this is so good. Okay. So I'm going to say this. For me, I am almost a year in into my agency, and a lot of my growth has been around founder-led growth. Okay. It's been through my referral and just my network in general, through my network and referrals. So I'm going to start there. Just my biased. Community is critical.
Should I put more than two, you know, 20 pennies on here on the founder line?
Let's come back. Let's leave space. I may even come back to that. I'm really heavy on the founder-led growth.
Sure.
And so I'm going to say this is for like more small, maybe even market. Enterprise is its own beast. So just to clarify, partner growth is critical. I'm going to put a penny in there. Sales, of course, is going to be... I'm going to say, okay, also too, remember I'm a services based company. So I just want to clarify so that when people are looking at it, they may say, oh, I'm services based. So I don't really have a product. So if you are like me, I would say, let's put another one in marketing. Let's put one in marketing. I'm going to put two in events. And I'm going to say this, events has been critical for my growth because, like I said, people want to buy from people. And so for me, even if I'm not necessarily having a vendor booth, just being on site and meeting and going to like the networking events has been critical for my success as well. I would say over probably 50% of my pipeline has been around events.
Wow. Which events do you go to?
Conferences that like within my industry. Or like meetups, tech meetups. There is a kind of a overlap with community because part of the communities I'm in will promote specific events. So I learn about them from my community, but then I attend the event. So the community is more of a strategy. The event is actually executing. I'm going to say this. I don't think people care about my brand. And this may be debatable, but like people could probably care less about my website or my brand. So I'm not even going to put a penny in there. I just did not spend a lot of money there. I'm going to say product. And when I say product, I'm really meaning even if you have a service, if you have a platform, your service is your product. So service does have to be quality to be able to, you know, continue. I haven't had a customer turn yet. And like the 8 months I've been in business. So I think of my service as the product. So I would say here, this is where I would spend my money.
That's awesome. I love your strategy of, you know, 20 pennies on community, on each community founder and events. And then you've distributed your 10 pennies in each of the four channels, product, sales, marketing, and partnerships. So let's take a look at this. This is where the average of all the community members, the go-to-market leaders that have decided to share their spend data with us, right? I'm going to overlay your inputs on top of this graph. So blue is the community, orange is yours. Tanisha, when you look at this, what surprises you?
I would say really being that heavy on the sales-led growth, because even if you have a new product, I would think that there would be more product and founder-led opportunities there. And so I do think that this is circumstantial to the type of, you know, companies that's being interviewed. I would say this, I've seen massive success. Like when I talk to some of my mentors or advisors in this space, like a lot of the times I've gotten to 14 clients within 7 months or 8 months. And so, and some of those, I have big enterprise clients, like even as big as Microsoft. For me, a lot of, like I said, my business has been around founder led and events. So I do think that it depends on your offering, your product, you know, even where you are, like I'm in Atlanta where I'm able to like attend more events where there are a lot of types of companies that I would essentially want to work with that's like local to my city.
Yep.
So it's easy for me to do the event like growth, but say you're in Iowa or Kansas, like I don't know if that's necessarily like as feasible. But I don't think that being so heavy on the sales led is a bad thing. I just think there just it should be some more balance.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. And I'm seeing lots of even mid-market companies, right, over 100 employees and below 1,000. They are changing their strategy from just sales-led to more events, more communities. So couldn't agree more with you. Tanisha?
Yeah, I think that's definitely more the kind of traditional way that we've seen success in the B2B space is really going heavy on the sales-led growth. But I think just as we continue to evolve, I think that you know, is going to index lower over time to be like to stay relevant and to be effective.
Maybe more. Tanisha, thank you so much for joining us. I'm sure the community is going to get a lot of value from the nuggets that you shared. So thank you.
This was fun. Thanks for inviting me.